Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Fortnite Show. And to start off the episode, I'm just going to say, since most people do listen to this episode, the episodes after I actually publish them, since I do publish them usually pretty around usually 7:30 to 8 p.m. Pacific time, it is pretty late for most people at that point, and most people do listen the other day, the next day. I am going to be saying happy Earth Day because tomorrow is Earth Day. So saying that, we do have a special outfit in the shop today, which we will be going over when we get to the item shop. So you'll just have to wait to see what that is. But moving on to some of the news, we have a blog post on epicgames.com from the other day that is Fortnite competitive rules clarification. And it says, by the Fortnite team, competitive players, with the start of Chapter 2 Season 6 FNCS on the horizon, we'd like to take this opportunity to reiterate our commitment to ensuring the integrity of competitive play in Fortnite. In order to make sure that everyone is on the same page when it comes to what is and what is not permissible in our tournaments, let's take a deeper look into some of our most commonly violated competitive rules. Intentionally disconnect. We established this rule to prevent teams from leaving a match as a defense against an opponent's use of the shakedown gameplay mechanic, which if used properly would allow the opponent to obtain that team's position information. Intentionally disconnecting from a match in an attempt to gain an unfair advantage goes against the spirit of Fortnite competitive. Accordingly, all players must be sure not to disconnect from the game while in a down but not out state. Note, this does not apply to players who intentionally disconnect while not in the down but not out state. Illegal restart. In December, we amended our rules to specify that players can only have one entry using only one Epic account into a tournament for a given session. This means that once you start a tournament as part of your team, you are locked to that team for the rest of the tournament. That we established this rule to prevent players from restarting a tournament from a separate account or with a new team prior to the start. Or after a poor start. So this means that, like, if you're playing on one team and, like, you play one match and someone has to leave, you cannot play any more of that tournament, because unless that person comes back, you cannot play with someone else, you cannot play on a different account. And then it says, please note, any attempt by a player to restart a tournament with a different team will trigger an automatic disqualification from that tournament. Players may also subject to escalating penalties for additional illegal restart. With in mind, be careful not to switch parties or teammates when competing in a tournament. Region lock. Fortnite assigns each player to a regional server based on the response time between a player's hardware and the Fortnite servers. Most players will play in tournaments based on their auto-assigned region for the best gaming experience. However, there are some players who are interested in playing some additional matches in the tournament, and so choose to switch regions and get in a few more games, even if it means slower server response time. Some of our tournaments are restricted to only one region entry via a region lock, while other tournaments are open to full cross-regional participation. To make it easier to determine a tournament has region lock, we've added the following bolded language to the existing rule 3.7.4 for all such tournaments. Players are expressly prohibited from having additional event entries using additional or secondary Epic accounts and or participating from one or from more than one server region. And there are a couple of examples from recent tournaments to help clarify. Cash Cups are not region locked. You may compete in the same Monday Cash Cup in the EU, NA East, and NA West servers. FNCS is currently region locked, and you may only participate in a single region, and you will be locked to the first region that you select in your first qualifier of that particular season's FNCS. As noted above, some of the tournaments allow for this and others do not. You'll need to be aware of which tournaments restrict play to a single region so you prioritize the region you wish to compete in. Additional competitive reminders, leaderboard adjustments. After a tournament has ended, it may be necessary for us to adjust the tournament leaderboards. While there are many reasons for making a leaderboard adjustment, it's usually due to players or teams being disqualified and removed from the leaderboard for breaking tournament rules. Unfortunately, one limitation we're currently faced with adjusting the leaderboards is the time it takes to complete the process. Depending on the reason behind the adjustment, the process can take anywhere from several hours to several days or longer to complete. The delay in finalizing official leaderboard standings is a primary reason why we may sometimes wait weeks before starting the process of awarding prizes to potential winners. For tournaments that award in advance advancement to play in a future round like FNCS qualifiers, were unable to guarantee finalized leaderboards updates in the short window of time before the next round starts. Therefore, at the end of a round, the leaderboard at the moment is snapshot, and those advancements are immediately awarded, considered final for the purpose of player or team advancement only. To summarize, for round-to-round advancements, we advance players' teams directly from a snapshot of the leaderboard at the conclusion of the round. For events with cash prizes, we delay distribution of those potential prizes until we're confident the leaderboards are finalized. So, pretty much what that just big thing means is that it may take a while for some tournament leaderboards to update, but otherwise, it should not take as long, or it should not take too long, yeah. If it's going straight into a qualifying for another round. Competitive warning / ban implications. Players should always strive to stay within our rules, but they should also understand the consequences of falling out of line with those rules. Depending on the nature of the infraction, disciplinary actions may include, but are not limited to, a public warning, loss of season points, loss of prizes, or a disqualification from a current or future tournament. Repeated or excessive rules infractions may result in increasing disciplinary action, up to and including permanent disqualifications from all future competitive play of Fortnite. Importantly, if a player on a team decides receives a disqualification for a tournament due to rules infraction, all players on the team will also receive a disqualification for that tournament, so be sure to choose your teammates wisely and hold each other accountable. Disciplinary action can also be imposed for certain players' behavior outside the game, including but not limited to harassment, toxic behavior, or promoting oneself as a banned cheater or cheater player. Pretty much what this means is that, like, if you're over on, like, Twitter being toxic, then pretty much you can get a ban for that, just because they want to keep the community good. And so just be careful what you say on Twitter from now often, or any social media, so then you don't get banned. So that's pretty much just what all that means, and just make sure you choose your teammates rides wisely, so that way that doesn't happen. But moving on to the next part is key remappers. To be clear, key remappers are permitted within Fortnite. That means if you have something that is, if you use a thing that makes a double movement on keyboard and mouse, then pretty much what that means is that you can get double movement on keyboard and mouse if you're using a program, but if you're on console, it does nothing because you can't get those programs. Players rely on these tools and certain hardware that apply the same effect in order to play the game. The spirit of our rules allow for players to reconfigure keybinds in a way that wouldn't be possible inside the game, including double movement on keyboards. Using these tools to automate multiple actions, examples, mapping a single button to place multiple building structures, however, is not permitted. That means no macros, like when you'll place one key, it will place a wall and a cone at the same time. That's not allowed, which also means single button resets on controller are not allowed. People are saying, oh, isn't that what scroll wheel is? No, because scroll wheel, every time you scroll a little bit, that's a key press. That's an input. So you just can scroll it really fast and it will instantly reset something. Then the last one is wagering, and this pretty much says that you're not allowed to wager, and they have finally made an official statement on wagering. Now, moving on to the final thing before we go to a break, is that if you're using DC Universe Infinite to get the codes for the Rebirth of Queen skin like I did, I actually have it. It's actually pretty similar to the original Harley Quinn skin. They look almost exactly the same. They have the same exact face, just different clothing. That's literally it. Because I have both of them, and they're like the same exact face with just different clothing. So just if you wanted it, it's there. But there was an issue where people would be getting either extra codes every single time they went to it, or they would be redeeming, or the codes that they got were not redeemable, so they would just, you'll be getting a new code sent to you in an email. But that is all we're going to do before we go to a break. And when we get back from the break, we're going to go over the item shop and this new, brand new skin that's in this shop. So make sure you stick around till after the break.
Thank you.